Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 27, the book of Psalms, chapter 27. While you're turning, let me share with you. I know the bulletin says that the sermon topic is Who is this Jesus? But after I gave Lou Ann this stuff for the bulletin, the Lord began, I felt like, pulling me away to another topic. And it's totally different from that one. Now, I'll probably come back to that one next week. But I just felt like spending some time with you this morning in some areas that you may be struggling with. Let me put it to you like this. My heart has ached. It literally has. And Carol and I have talked about it, and we have prayed about it, that during this time I've not been able to be with you as a pastor and as a shepherd. And that's totally new to me. I didn't know how to handle it. I called some, and some of you called us, and then we met in July or June for that business meeting. But that's the only contact we've had. And so that really bugged me that I could not be a pastor to you. But I hope you were aware that Carol and I were in prayer for you and that you were in prayer for each other. I understand that and I know it. But that did not release me from the way my heart beats for my sheep. I call you my sheep. I haven't found any goats yet in this church, but I think all I have is a bunch of woolly sheep, and I love sheep. I don't like you with that mask on, but there's nothing we can do about that right now. Now then, the pandemic that we have been experiencing and living in has brought about various ideas, some crazy philosophies and dogmas, and they run the entire spectrum that you could even imagine and think of. Now, some of those I agreed with, and some of them I shudder with repugnance at some of the ideas that people have put forth in reference to all that you and I have been experiencing. Now, the most prevalent characteristic that I have seen, broad span, not isolated, but broad span, is the characteristic of fear. People are scared to death. They are. And I'm going to be honest with you, I am not scared to death, but many people are, to the point that fear has captivated them and in some cases made them become recluse, isolated, and in hiding. Carol and I have a dear friend that we have known for about 28 years. We have been through thick and thin with her and all of her problems that she has had. And she lives alone, a young lady. And so Carolyn and I decided one day we would invite her over for lunch. Just lived a few blocks away from us. And she let us know right quick that she was not leaving her house except to go to the grocery store and the pharmacy. And that was it. I can't imagine a woman living that long without going to Walmart, can you? But she was not going, she was totally captivated by fear. For 8 months or longer, she has been that way. Now, there are others who have exhibited defiance. Some are in fear, in hiding, and others are in defiance. They refused to wear any kind of mask. They refused to wash their hands. They're just in total defiance. There's two extremes. And that's what I wanted to deal with today, is the Christian response to COVID. Because we continue to fight the pandemic, don't we? We are still in the fight. Don't know how long it's going to go on. I pray it won't be much longer, but we never know. So what shall we do while you and I, as believers in Christ, do we have anything from Scripture? Do we have anything to stand on? Let me say this one thing. Chances are very, very remote that you and I would catch the virus here at Grace Temple in worship. That is very remote. You're more likely to get it at Walmart. Have you been going to Walmart? You're more likely to get it at HEB. Have you been going to HEB? I do not know why the church has a stigma about it that supersedes and makes people afraid to come together in worship. You're further apart now than you are in a store. Do you agree with that? Yeah. I don't understand it. Yes, I do. It is another tool of Satan to defeat the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was telling someone the other day, they inquired about Grace Temple, and I said, well, I really believe if the pandemic hadn't hit when it did, and we were still in regular services and all of that, I told that individual, I really believe we would have increased in our attendance and even in membership. But we've not been able to do that. In fact, we have lost some of our people during this time. Some have died. Some have quit their relationship to our church. Some have found other churches. So I think it's had a drastic effect on Grace Temple Baptist Church. Now I want you to read with me a few verses from Psalm 27. Did you bring your Bible? I hope you did, because that's our textbook for our time together, and that's what you use to check up to make sure the preacher is saying the right thing. Now then, verse 1. Of Psalm 27. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Then the last verse, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I believe I'm going to share with you this morning three little areas of the Christian's response to COVID. And I know you're saying, oh, I didn't come to church to hear about that. I came to hear another kind of sermon. You'll get that next Sunday. But let me just kind of get rid of a little bit of my pastoral consternation, please. Just a little bit. Now, It's been a long time since I've preached here at Grace Temple. So I've got a whole lot built up in me. And if I get to going long, don't worry, Carolyn will do this. But just be patient. We will be out of here by 1:30. And by the way, the Cowboys are not playing today, so don't use that as an excuse. Very lame excuse, but don't use that. Now then, the Bible teaches us that when we are in such trials and tribulations, is that we are to use prudence and common sense. In other words, the first thing I want to say about that is that in times like these, we are not to tempt and trust the Lord Jesus. Do you remember in the Gospel of Luke where the devil had been tempting Christ and trying to get him to jump off the temple and all of those three different things? And the Lord Jesus simply told him, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now, what I mean by that is very simple. I had a church member one time that went to town and got himself a big car beyond his ability to pay for. And then he's told me that he told the Lord, "Lord, thank you for leading me to this car. Now you need to pay for it." That is tempting the Lord. I told the Lord one time, "Lord, you brought me to this woman." No, never mind. Don't go into that. But we are guilty sometimes, are we not, of tempting the Lord? "I'm not going to wear a mask today, Lord, so keep me safe. I'm not going to wash my hands, Lord, so now you keep me safe." I think the Bible would teach us to use common sense about certain things. Now, I'm afraid to admit to you there may be some areas that we have gone overboard to the point of bringing about panic in the citizens of our country. I think it's prudent, I think it's common sense to use proper steps to help keep ourselves as well as others safe. Carol and I have in the car one of these pump bottles that every time we get in our car, having been in a store or whatever, we do our hands, and then she makes me do the steering wheel too. I do the steering wheel and I do the gear shift, and she makes me do everything. I think she's a little kooky about all this, but I do it all anyway, just to satisfy her and to keep her safe. But I just simply want to underline that sometimes we lean over to the area of panic. I'd rather put it this way. Instead of panic, as you have already done, we use and exercise faith, because faith is quiet. Faith is peaceful. Faith is trusting the Lord. And that is our whole crutch of the matter, is to trust the Lord. Did you notice as I read those passages a while ago how beautiful David put it, that the Lord is my strength. In whom shall I be afraid? Even though the enemies come up against me, who shall I be afraid of? In using common sense, we don't have to shudder and panic and go into reclusiveness. Now, the number two. I told you I had three, and I have three. And now number two. During the stressful situation like what we're in right now, the Bible teaches us we are to seek the Lord. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, these verses are so familiar, and I'll read them to us this morning. in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning with verse 13. These are the words of our Lord. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, here we go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I honestly believe that during stressful times, we are admonished to seek the Lord. Let me put it to us this way. You know, the pandemic that we're going through right now is not the first crisis we have faced as a country. It's not the first time that we have been faced with something that appeared to be larger than what we are. But every time a crisis comes in the world, I believe, is an opportunity God could use to call his people back to him. I believe that with all of my heart. That this pandemic through which we are traveling right now, I believe, is another opportunity that God could be using to call his people, especially American believers, back to him. Hey, that verse was written to God's people. It was not written to heathens. It was written to his people. That's you. That's me. That God calls us to come back. And how are we to do that? Because Israel was God's people. And just because that we are kids of the kingdom doesn't mean that we ourselves are exempt from the astronomical causes and responses to any of the crises. You know, when they wandered in the wilderness, they were God's children. They had to suffer for their rebellion and for their turning away from the Lord God. It's one thing to have confidence and trust in the Lord, and another to be arrogant, but rather to believe in him and not to trust in science alone, but to put our faith and our trust in our precious Lord. Now let me quickly go through that verse and give you God's plan, or God's prescription, if you please, which is quite a formula that he put together for us. And the first thing he said, my people, that's us. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're one of his people. And he called for them to humble themselves. That's the opposite of pride and arrogance. I see a lot of that in our world today. A lot of self-pride and puffed up arrogance. But God said, my people are to humble themselves. In other words, one thing is to have a good, wholesome, modest estimate of who you are. I get so upset sometimes with preachers. I get so upset with athletes who are so arrogant and so puffed up. You know what? Let me parenthetically add this. One thing I get upset with athletes, that if they make a good play, they strut around like a banty rooster and point to themselves, you know, and do all of this. That just rubs my gizzard raw, I'm telling you. But now when they make a mistake, they don't do anything. They don't say, I did wrong, you know. And it's just puffed up arrogance. And I see that in every avenue of life. I see it with doctors at the hospital. I've never seen it with a church secretary, have you? I have never seen it there. But he said to humble yourselves. In other words, put yourself at the mercy, at the tenderness, in relationship to who the Lord is. There are some people who believe that they are bigger and better than God. But God says, my people are to humble themselves. The other thing that he said is that we are to pray. Now that seems rather simple, doesn't it? First of all, to put ourselves in right relationship with the Lord. You are God, I am not God. I'm your child, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. And then because of that relationship, I kneel in prayer. Paul said in the book of Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guard your hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are admonished in Holy Scripture that during a crisis time is to humble ourselves and to pray. The next thing that he said is to seek his face. What in the world does that mean? The Bible says that no one has ever seen God, but here we are told to seek the face of God. That's the Bible way of saying to put ourselves in a position to where we discover God's will and what he wants us to do. There's one thing about women that many things that I do not understand about women. And by the way, someday I'm going to preach a sermon on women. And you women will love it. It's not going to be one to put you down at all. That is, if I get the permission to do that. But there's one thing about women that men don't have, and that is the ability to give the look. Are you women aware of that power that you have? Are you aware of that? I was first introduced to that with my mother at church. I don't know why she turned and looked at me so often. I have never figured it out, other than she just loved me so much and she just wanted to behold the beauty of her only son. But she would turn and look at me. It was that look. And women have that ability. Even little baby girls have that ability. One of my granddaughters, she hadn't been around in this world very long. And I went up to take her, to hold her in my arms, like all granddads like to do. And this is what she did. She went. She snooted me. At that young age, she found out she had that ability. And what I'm saying about that is this. So many times we get the message when we look into the face of people. We do. They don't have to say a word. That's why the Bible says we are to seek the face of God, find his will. So in the middle of a pandemic or whatever is bothering us, to seek God's face, humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? And then the last one he says, to turn from their evil ways. You know, I have read that several times. And one time when I read that verse, I thought, do you mean God says that His people have evil ways. And my answer to that today is, you bet we do. Just because we know Christ is Savior does not mean that we do not have evil ways. I have pastored long enough to realize that even in believers, there are evil things that come out of them. Years and years ago, when I pastored a church out in West Texas, now I want you to hear me clearly, that there was a woman in that church that I believe if anybody was evil, she was. And I really did not realize that in her until my daughter was working in Vacation Bible School and was working in the same class with this lady. I do not know what happened. But my daughter came to me after Bible school was over that day and said, "Daddy, Miss so-and-so, I think she's evil." I didn't even know my daughter knew what that word meant. I said, "How do you know, honey?" "Daddy, the way she does things she says, and her eyes." I started paying attention to that woman. And I started looking into her eyes, and I have to agree with my daughter. There is evil even in the ranks of God's people. I stand before you today as a recipient of evil in the midst of a congregation. Because things that were done to us were nothing more than evil. I'll tell you one thing that was done, and I'm giving you this illustration not for sympathy, but for your awareness. Carolyn and I and our family had gone somewhere, and there was an evil person in that church that backed his horse trailer up into our driveway and cleaned out his horse trailer and left all of that in our driveway. That's evil. How do I know? My neighbor saw him. And my neighbor, who was a retired preacher, cleaned it up before we got home. That's evil. And God was calling his children, his people, to turn from their evil way. I'm not saying some of you are evil. That's not the point. The point is we must be aware during certain times like this that evil things come out, and sometimes they harm us. My last point, the third one, is that we are admonished to trust in the Lord. Some of you have talked to me on the phone and have shared that with me, that it is your faith in the Lord God that has propelled you and stabilized you and kept you strong. You know that to have faith in the Lord, even in the face of what's been going on, and let me say this, even in the face of death, to trust in the Lord. Did you know there's something worse than having COVID? There is something worse than having cancer. There's something worse than having heart problems. The worst thing in the world is to face death without the Lord Jesus in your heart. That's the worst thing in the world. And even when all of this is going on, as bad as it is, it's our faith in Christ, the cross, the empty tomb, that makes the difference. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph was a good little boy. But his brothers, who were evil, threw him in a pit, hoping he would die. He was later rescued by some other folks and was carried to a foreign country. And throughout all of that, Joseph kept his faith in the Lord God, never wavered. And because of that, he ended up being able to save the lives of his own people. Now, he could have become bitter. He could have rejected the Lord God, but no, he kept his faith in the Lord. Lord, even though this pandemic is crushing us, I'm keeping my faith in you. They can take all of that away from me, but they cannot take away my faith in you. And, congregation, if a crisis draws people to the Lord, that's good. I hesitate to share this because I think my time is about up. Well, Carolyn says, I have another hour. Well, I can do that. This morning at about 2:30, my phone rang. And I knew exactly who it was. It was Lou Ann wanting to know if I was going to be at church today. She was drumming up people to come to church. No, it was the hospital. And they said there was a man that was very ill. He had sepsis, going to be put on hospice. And he was wanting to talk. So I made my way there and started the conversation. So I felt like I needed to get down to the nitty-gritty. And so I said to him, you know, you may die before the morning. And I may die before morning. But I just want to ask you, if you die tonight, will you be in heaven with Jesus? He started talking about philosophical things that he had read when he was a little boy. And I thought, boy, I got to get him away from that stuff. I said, no, no, no. I'm just asking you, if you have given your heart to Jesus, and when you die, will you go to heaven? And then he gave the classic answer, and he said, I hope so. And I said, sir, I'm not here to argue with you. Do you believe the Bible? And then he said, most of it. And I said, well, let me just share something with you. John said in his epistle that he has written these things to us that we may know that we have eternal life. He said, you can know? I said, yes, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, that when you die, you will be in heaven with Jesus. And I ask him again, has there ever been a time in your life that you have given your heart to Christ, that you have asked him to forgive you of your sins? And he looked at me and he said, I really think I have. So we talked some more and discussed another topic or two. I believe that the man had given his heart to Christ, but he had, since that time, given himself to high philosophical ideas and had wandered away by the leadership of Satan, away from the truths of the Holy Bible about the Lord Jesus. We had prayer, and I asked him before I left, if I don't ever see you here, will I see you in heaven? And I want to share with you what he said, and then I'm going to finish my sermon. He said, yes, I'll see you there. I said, good night, and I left. You know, people get so messed up, and they allow things in this world to draw their attention away from Christ. That's one thing I've worried about being closed for so long here at Grace Temple, that some of our people may have allowed these things to draw them away from the Lord. I trust that's not right, but it could be true. I pray that it is not. So, when we are in the center of God's will, we have humbled ourselves and we have prayed and we have sought His face, that when we're in the center of God's will, we have nothing to fear. You remember what Roosevelt said? We have nothing to fear but fear itself. That never meant anything to me until this pandemic. We don't fear the COVID, but the thing that we fear is the fear of fearing the COVID rather than trusting in our precious Lord. Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, during this time, I pray from the depths of my soul that we will keep our faith in You secure and strong. And Lord, I'm not ashamed to pray for our people as they struggle with their fears, that they struggle with other maladies. May we always look to You and give You praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.